do, but have you ever noticed that truth is really kind of hard to come by these days? It's really hard to find truth in this world, isn't it? It's like we used to turn on the news because, you know, we wanted to know what was going on, and we could kind of trust to what we heard to know what was going on. And now it seems almost, I hate to say it, almost to turn on the news, informed by what's really happening, because what you're going to get is very little truth and the truth, and if any, hard to come by. We live in a world that is, but certainly are not living in a world that ought to be, right? We're living in the reality of what the world is, but what the world is not the way we really. The good news is, as we know, the Word of God, this book, the Bible, gives us all the truth that we need to live a full life in Christ. Amen? So instead of turning on the news, open the pages of the Bible if you want truth, because this is all that you need to know. The truth gives us wisdom. The truth gives us instruction. It gives us insight as to how we ought to live our lives day by day. If we continue in this book, in His Word, among anything else that happens to us, we can never lose the truth. We will always know the truth if we continue in His Word. That's why the goal of reading the Bible is not simply to read it. I mean, right? But ultimately to live by it, or to do it, if you will. I need to feel the truth as much as I need to read the truth, in other words. The Bible says that we ought not to be merely hearers, but also doers of God's Word. If we're going to know the truth, we not only need to hear it, but we need to practice it. You in our series called Collide. This is week number 3. To get truth. In week 1, we laid the foundation for what it meant to kind of stand firm on the Word of God. Not only the truth that we, only truth that we can stand firm on the Word of God, because it truly is the only truth that we can know in this world. And went on last week to talk about some things that we need to get rid of in our lives and some things that we need to add to our lives. And not just one wasn't good enough. We had to do both. And today we're going to take it even one step further. And that is because after God begins to renew our minds, we talked about that last week. After God begins that process of transformation and renewing of our minds, we need to pursue the source of truth, and so that we can ultimately live it out. If we don't pursue the truth, then it's going to be pretty much impossible to live out the truth. One day, there was a shoemaker in Mashhad, a very religious city in the northeastern part of Iran. And he brought home for his lunch some cheese, which the grocer had wrapped in a page of the New Testament, if you can believe it. Wrapped it in a page of the New Testament. That's what he was using as wrapping paper. And after eating his lunch, he picked up the piece of paper, and he's like, might as well read it. So he read some stories that were found in the New Testament that his cheese was wrapped in. Intrigued, the second day he did the same thing. Went to the grocer, bought some cheese. The cheese was wrapped in a different part of the New Testament. And he took it home, and he read some pages. And he continued to be even more and more intrigued. So third day. And on the third day, he shared this story with his brother. He's like, man, I don't know what this is all about, but these stories are really affecting me. They're changing my life. And he and his brother went to a missionary who gave him the full copy. Went to a missionary and said, you know, I've read some stories here, and I'd really need a full copy. A full copy. See, that's what God's Word does. If you really start in it, it really starts to do something in your mind and in your heart and in your life. It starts a transformation process. And that's what happened in these two brothers. Well, later, the two men were baptized. And they become among the first believers in that city. Why? Because a grocer unintendedly wrapped his cheese in a new piece of New Testament and gave it to the guy, and he read it, and it saved his life, basically. And they became some of the first believers in that city. You know, that's what the power of Scripture, that's what Scripture has the power to do, right? The power of Scripture, even if just a glimpse of it, the power of Scripture, a page, a single page that was really used as trash, if you will, what do we normally do with the paper that our cheese is wrapped in? We throw it in the garbage. It was intended for trash, and it still had the power to redeem. That's what God's Word does. Regardless of how it was intended from someone, it has the power to redeem. In Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, I do not understand what I do. What I hate to do. But what I want to do are the things that I don't do. Anybody relate to that? Amen? It's like, man, I know what I want to do, but I'm just having a really hard time doing it. But the very things that I don't want to do seem to be the things that come easiest for me. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with this notion or this concept. In this verse, Paul is specifically speaking about sin, I believe. He's talking about the sin that I don't want to do is the sin that I do, and the good that I want to do is the good that I have a hard time doing. I think he's talking specifically about sin. But I wonder how many of us could take that same principle and apply it to our time spent with God in His Word, or shall I say the lack thereof. Like, I know how much time I want to spend in God's Word, but I know how much time I really spend in God's Word. And the amount of time that I want to spend in God's Word oftentimes is not the actual amount of time that we spend in God's Word. What I want to do is oftentimes what I don't do. Well, you're in good company because the Apostle Paul obviously struggled with that too. But maybe today is the day that God will give you a new hunger for His Word. Maybe. Inside of you a new desire or a new hunger to spend more time in His Word. Our text this morning comes from Proverbs 23, verse 23. I mean, we're going to look at a lot of verses, but this is kind of the one that I want to focus on this morning. It is one very short, simple verse, and this is what it says. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Buy the truth and do not sell it. And while you're at it, buy wisdom, instruction, insight as well. Well, if you buy the truth, those things kind of come with it. We have already said that truth comes from God's Word. We know that to be true. But once we have it, how do we keep it? Once we have it, first step is what the writer of Proverbs makes very clear in the verse. Don't sell it. Once you have the truth, don't sell it. I think that happens a lot. We know the truth. We see the truth. We read the truth. We understand the truth. And then we sell the truth. We sell it to the world. We sell ourselves out, if you will, right? How many of you believe that the writer, he is talking about standing on the side of the road with a Bible, attempting to sell it as a physical Bible? You think that's what he's talking about? Don't sell the truth. He's not talking about taking the Bible, going and standing out on the road and selling your Bible. That's not what he's talking about, of course. Instead, the writer is talking about an internal struggle. An internal struggle that we have. It is one thing to receive the word. It is an entirely different thing to actually keep it as a priority in your life. Have you ever known a Christian that seemed to be deeply devoted to God? Away. Or maybe they don't just suddenly slip away, but they kind of gradually slip away. I've known people like that. I've known a few people like that. As if at one time in their life they were not for sale. I am not for sale. I'm standing firm on God's worth. I'm not for sale. But then all of a sudden, they sold out. They sold the Word of God or sold themselves to the world. Like I said, I've known a couple of people like that, a couple in particular that were really quite shocking, actually. Devoted Christians who just seemed to be on fire and then all of a sudden slip away. They sold the Word of God in their life. Unfortunately, I think this happens too often. As we mentioned in week one of this series, the things of the world can in and convince us of their truth, which is really not truth, their version of the truth, which is really not truth at all. But it happens. It's easy to sell ourselves short by selling what we hold on to as truth in Scripture. There are probably some in that place right now. Internal struggle, an internal tug of war. It's this real tug of war that's going on inside them right now that is pulling them in two different directions. I would almost go out on a limb to say that each and every person that you know somebody going through that, even if you don't know they are, somebody you know is dealing with this in their lives. This tug of war between the world and the truth and being ripped apart inside, trying to hold on to the truth while being pulled away or sucked in by the world. And the sad reality is the world is gaining an advantage, a little advantage, day by day. And sometimes that's what Satan wants. He doesn't try and get us to turn 180 degrees all at once. It's like a few degrees here and a few degrees there and a few degrees there. Now 90 degrees seems normal, and all of a sudden you're 180 degrees, and all of a sudden it feels normal, because we've gradually been bought in to the lies of the world and we've gradually turned off center. I think that happens more than we like to believe. Jesus had an external dialogue with a woman about this same struggle in her life. You can turn there if you want. It's found in John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. I'm sure you've heard this story before. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." She didn't quite get it. She's like, "Look, the well is deep. You don't have anything to draw. How can you give me water? You have nothing to draw up the water." And then he said, "You are greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle." And then Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks from this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst." But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up with eternal life. And then what did the woman say? Sir, give me that water. I don't want the water in the well. Give me that water. Whatever water you're talking about, give me that water so I will be thirsty no more. All the way here, nor come all the way here to draw. She said, give me that water. See, in this story, Jesus offered the woman the true source of life. The true source of life. One that would satisfy her completely. Not one that would just satisfy for a bit or a moment or partially. But he offered her water that would satisfy completely. See, before this interaction, this woman was in this tug of war that I'm talking about. She was in the middle of being pulled in worldly directions, all the while searching for what would truly satisfy. She's being pulled over here, but searching for something over here. And then when all of a sudden what happened, what she was searching for came walking into her life. The truth incarnate, Jesus Christ himself, collided with her sin. And she was set free. You want to talk about a major collision? That is a major collision when Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, collides with our sin. It's like a collision that you cannot imagine. It's like two semis colliding head on 70 miles an hour. That's what happens when Jesus collides with your sin. And that's what happened to the woman at the well. Jesus came into contact with her sin. And she was transformed. She was transformed. The Bible tells us elsewhere that Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. In reality, what happened is her sin came in contact with the truth. Because Jesus was in the flesh. And it says that Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. So essentially, her truth was coming in, or her sin was coming in contact with the truth. If we know Jesus, we know truth. She met Jesus, and all of a sudden, she knew truth. So how do we learn more about the truth? We spend time in God's Word. And once we know it and we learn to use it, I believe there is a proper response that God desires from us. So first we need to know it or read it. Then we need to know it. And then there's something else that we need to do. We need to give it away freely. Now please don't misunderstand. This is different when I'm than selling it. When I said don't sell it, this is different. We need to give it away freely. We need to share it. See, all throughout the Bible, it is made clear that the Word was never meant to just dwell within us. We need to allow it to dwell within us, and we need to do that, but there's more to it. In Matthew 28:18, you probably don't even have to turn there. It's what we know as the Great Commission. And what did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, if you have read the truth, and you have received the truth, and you're living in the truth, now I need you to go and share the truth. Amen? How often do we do that, though? How often do we do that? As I said, this passage of Scripture is often called the Great Commission. Jesus commands his disciples to go and spread the Word of God. Go and spread the Word of God. Gospel message about him to the world. It's a simple message. Go and tell people about Jesus. Go and tell people about the truth. Not the truth that they're finding or think they're finding, but the real truth, the truth found in God's Word. When we begin to read and study the Word, and even when we begin to put it into practice, we are then called to go and share it. So we can read it, we can receive it, we can believe it, and we can even live it out in our own lives, but still not share it. And that's where we sometimes fall short. And amazingly, sharing the Word of God with others will strengthen our own faith as well. I'm telling you, you want to know a way to strengthen your own faith? That's to share it, to give it away, to share the good news of Jesus. I can tell you from my own life, my own personal experience. Now, and I'm not afraid to say that my faith is my life. I'm not afraid. My faith is a little weak. Sometimes my faith is it could ever be. But I can tell you this. The times in my life that my faith was the strongest were times when I was giving it away. When I was giving it away. When I was sharing of His Word and sharing about the love of Jesus. That's when my faith was the strongest. I can tell you when I was the outreach pastor in Saginaw, and we had the street ministry. And I was downtown in our street ministry. My faith was never, ever stronger. Funny thing is, my faith was never under more attack. But because I was serving in such a capacity, it was also stronger than it's ever been. Because I was giving it away. Because I was giving it away. You want to strengthen your faith? Start giving it away. Start sharing it. Start sharing the love of Jesus. And you will never know a greater or a stronger faith. We are called to give it away, to share the gospel freely, and what a joy it is when we do that. What a joy it is to share with others what God has done. You want to know the easiest way to share the love of God? You don't even have to share with God's Word. You can just simply say to somebody, can I just tell you what Jesus did for me today? Can I just tell you what God has done in my life? I don't know if you believe in God. I don't know if you believe in His Word. But I just like to tell you what He's done for me. A great place to start. And you know what? Generally, people will say, yeah, I'd like to hear that. People are often open to that. And what a joy it is. You have a story to tell. I have a story to tell. Everyone has their own story to tell. It might be one of hurt. It might be one of brokenness. It might be one of strength. It might be one of weakness. But everyone has a story to tell. And if you think about it, you can think of a time that God did something in your life. And you can share that story, right? Chances are, if you have invited Jesus to do something in your life, He's shown up. He has. If you invite Jesus to do something, He'll show up. He might not always show up in the capacity that we had visioned, hoped, or thought that He would, but He showed up. And He will show up, and He does show up. Share your story with somebody this week. That's all you need to do. Share your story. Share your faith. Say, you know what? This is what God has done for me. And you know what? Maybe that's the first time that they'll start to hear the truth. Maybe they've been living in the lies of the world. And maybe that's the moment where Jesus collides with their sin. Maybe that's the moment that the truth will collide with their lies that they've been told. And maybe that is the moment that Jesus will start to do a work. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a seed that's planted. And maybe somebody will have to come along after you and water it and share their story. And maybe 4 or 10 people have to share their story with them before they really allow Jesus to confront their truth. Be just your story. The point is, though, don't ever miss an opportunity to at least plant a seed, right? To at least plant the seed. Maybe somebody's already planted it, and your story is the one that just makes it all happen and comes together and the collision takes place. But that's not the important part. The important part is that we just do our part. We don't know where along their journey our story comes into play. We can't worry about that part. All we have to do is worry about being obedient to do our part and to share our story. Let me close with this. Maybe when you tuned in this morning, either here in the sanctuary or virtually, maybe you are in a place where you are tempted to sell yourself short by following worldly temptations. I'm telling you, the worldly temptations have never been great. Maybe you've been dealing with this. Maybe you've been dealing with the worldly temptations. I can tell you right now, having an 11-year-old daughter, man, you want to talk about worldly temptations in the life of a child. Oh, my goodness. At 11 years old, it's awful. And so it's so important that I continue to pour truth into her, because she is with worldly temptations and lies so frequently. It's crazy. And I have to continually pour truth into her, in hoping that the truth that I pour into her slowly wins versus the world winning. Because I feel like if all I'm doing is pouring truth into her and just pulling her along slowly, as long as I'm pulling her in the right direction, away from the world, then that's okay. You know what I mean? Sometimes just slowly being pulled in the right direction is enough. Because if you go in the right direction long enough, eventually you're going to be in the right place. It's so hard, though. It's so hard. So maybe you've had this internal wrestling match going on that I talked about. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in saying, look, I have this war going inside of me. There's a tug of war going on inside of me with truth. World, there's no shame in admitting that. In fact, I would say it's a good thing, because that means that Jesus is colliding with your sin. If you have this internal struggle, that's a good thing. That because that means Jesus is doing something. If you're not struggling, you may be well on your way and living in truth and sharing truth, and that's good. But if you're not struggling, it might be because just the opposite. You're very comfortable in the lies, and you're very comfortable in the world, and Jesus isn't doing anything right now. So if there's a tug of war, if there's a war, that's a good thing. That means that Jesus is at work. So don't be ashamed of it. Be happy about it and see it as a good thing, because it means that there are two kingdoms colliding within you and you feel the need to make a choice. The important thing is, obviously, we make the right choice. We make the right choice. Today can be the day that we fully submit to God's word, that we don't just read it and don't just understand it and don't just receive it and don't just apply it to our lives, but to actually give it away. Because listen, if we are going to fully submit to God's word, that means we have to give it away, because God instructs us to do that, right? So we need to do all those things. So maybe today is the day we submit to fully trusting God's word, believing it, receiving it, applying it, and sharing it. It's the only source of true abundant life. It's the only thing that provides true abundant life. I mean, if you love others and you want to know and you want them to know true abundant life, then you got to share life. You got to share the source of living water. The world is giving them a taste of water that will only satisfy them for a moment. Give them an invitation or an opportunity to drink from the well of living water that will sustain them for life. It's the only thing that will satisfy them if they allow it to do the work inside of them. Pray for opportunities to share the word. Pray for opportunities to share your story this week. You might not think your story is much. You might not think your story adds up to much. You might think, you know what, my story is just, it's just a regular story. Nobody cares about my story. You don't know that, though. We put God in a box when we think that way. You know what I mean? Maybe your story is what somebody needs to hear this week. Not somebody else's story, but your story. Maybe they need to hear your story. There's so much joy that comes with giving the gospel to someone else. You know, I said that my faith has never been stronger when I find myself serving and giving God's love away. But I can also tell you this, that I have never experienced greater joy in my life. I've never experienced greater joy in my life either when I'm sharing my story. There's just so much joy that comes with it. In fact, Jesus said it this way. It is more blessed to receive, or more blessed to give than to receive. That applies to Scripture too. It's a greater blessing to give God's word away than it is to receive it. Receive it and then give it away. It will strengthen your faith in Christ. He has called us to believe. He has called us to receive. And he has called us to give. Believe God's word, receive God's word, and give God's word. Believe the truth, receive the truth, and give the truth. And get ready for the doors to open when you do that. When you have a willingness to believe, receive, and give, God will open the doors. It will strengthen you. It will give you joy. And it just may save someone's life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that in a world that is full of lies, in a world that will rarely tell the truth, that we have the source of truth. Lord, I pray that we would not only read the truth and not only receive the truth and believe the truth and allow the truth to renew our minds. Lord, I pray that you would give us the desire and the courage and the boldness to share the truth. Lord, we have so many who desperately need it. Lord, some are living in the world and there is no tug of war going on because they don't know anything different and they're quite comfortable there. Lord, we have some that are living out your truth and giving it away, and there is no tug of war really going there because they're firmly planted in the foundation of your word and of your truth. But Lord, I think for most people, there is a tug of war. There's a tug of war going on between world, sin, and truth. And Lord, I pray for those that have that internal tug of war going on, Lord, I pray that you would slowly begin to win. Lord, that you would slowly begin to pull them into the direction of truth and away from lies. And Lord, maybe, just maybe, it will be us sharing our story that puts them over the edge and gets them moving in the direction of truth. Give us opportunities and give us strength and give us courage. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Please stand if you are able.